is my great privilege to introduce our guest speaker today, Brother Joey Hedrick. If you ever have had a testimony and you want to just tell it, this is how you do it. You say, I'm going to say in front of my peers, people who I grew up with, some of these people who probably sent you to the principal's office
been
a
there.
Few times.
Yes, for sure.
Man, it is my honor and my privilege to present to you Joey Hedrick. Would you welcome him to the stage?
Good morning. Can y'all hear me? Am I on? All right. Sorry, I'm not used to being on this stage whatsoever. As a matter of fact, a lot of times I'm back in the back with the 4th, 5th, and 6th grade. Or on Wednesday evenings with the 4th, 5th, and 6th grade. So bear with me today. This is way outside of my comfort zone. As a matter of fact, not even 6 months ago, I wouldn't pray in public, more or less around, staying in front of a whole congregation of hopefully a bunch of believers who just looking for some hope. So I'd like to start off by thanking Sam for this opportunity to give my testimony. My hope and prayer is that my story maybe relates to somebody else in here, something they've went through, maybe something you're going through in your life, because for so long, I was running towards the world. I was making all the choices that completely distanced me from God far away from Him as possible. So I hope that if something you're going through relates, we could take this time to reflect and maybe break down that barrier and help you draw closer. Just to kind of give you a brief story on myself, I've lived in Ader for 40 years. I'm married to my wife, Crystal. We've been together for 20 years, married 16. She's been with me through this whole process, good, bad, ugly, all the damage I've done. Because I can tell you right now, there's probably not a person here who isn't broken or at one point in your life has been completely destroyed and broken by your choices. And that was me. I mean, I was a person who, when I graduated high school, my whole concept of succeeding was I had to make money. My foundation was, how can I make as much money as I can? Because that's all that life is about. I didn't need God. I didn't need any relationships. I needed myself and what I could achieve. And looking back on that, that caused me to become love for other things. Love for women. I stand here, you know, I'm ashamed to say it, but, you know, we all fall short. And I went through a trial in my life to where I allowed myself between, you know, love for money, love for women. I love for myself, all about self-gratification, you know, and I had nobody, I wasn't seeking any help whatsoever. I wasn't going to God. I thought I could do it all myself. And all that did was caused anxiety, depression, worry. It just built a wall in my heart. It hardened my heart to where I couldn't hear the sound of the Holy Spirit telling me, hey, stop doing what you're doing. I wasn't getting that discernment. You know, and it wasn't nobody's fault but my own because of what I was surrounding myself with and what I was doing. Long story short, I was, you know, it was love for the world. I remember growing up, people always tell you, God created the world, so we should love the world. Guys, the world don't love us. I mean, look outside these doors right now. We see what the new normal people are wanting to call in this world. We see the changes that are happening. This world does not care about us. There's only one person who cares about us 100% all the time that stands firm in His word, and that's God. He is our Savior. You know, and it took me forever to figure that out. I mean, that I damaged anybody that was in my path for 29 years. I didn't care what I said and what I did to hurt you. Gossip, you know, that's just who I was. Because I had nothing to fall back on, no foundation whatsoever. But it took June 1st, 2015. I'm doing good math. My daughter, when my first daughter was born, she'd be 11. So that's, I'm sorry, 2012. That's when the seed was planted in my life, when my foundation finally started to change. And it's just crazy how the Holy Spirit works. I had no interest in going to church. Nobody could convince me that's where I need to go to change. Nobody can convince me that, you know, and what I look back on and I realize, so I didn't want to go to church because I knew I was going to sacrifice the things I loved the most. the hobbies, my habits. I didn't want to change those. I was selfish. But the Holy Spirit had placed my wife's friend, had came up to her and said, I have no idea where your relationship is with Jesus or where y'all go to church, but your daughter's relationship with Jesus is in your hands. And that changed my, I was like, oh man, I can't quit being so selfish because I'm just not thinking about me anymore. I'm thinking about her. And I look back on my life and I realize that's where my seed was initially planted. And from that point forward, we thought, okay, where are we going to go to church at? What are we going to do? We had no idea. We had no idea where to start. But we just so happened to have some friends who started going to a church in Pryor and told us about it. We said, okay, we'll give it a shot. And that was life-changing for me because I became became saved. I was saved, but an outward type of saved, not inward. My heart was still corrupt. My heart was still hardened and evil, and I had the same thoughts. But outwardly, I could tell people, oh, I know who my Father is. I know God's our Father. I know that Jesus Christ died for me. The Holy Spirit was still a little weird. I was like, I don't know about this Holy Spirit thing. I mean, you're talking about spirits. What is this, sci-fi? So I wasn't really sure. But as we started going to church, I started getting convictions. Things in my life that I was allowing to make up who I was. And I'm going to just be real with you because that's all I could do. You know, my desires to watch porn, just throwing it out there, that went away. You know, being in the church, the Holy Spirit put on me that's you don't need that in your life. You know, all that's going to do is give you distractions. The language, you don't need every other word, add a cuss word in there just to make that sentence sound a little bit cooler and better. So these changes started happening in my life. And honestly, I didn't realize them. I mean, I was that person who I'd go to, on Sundays. I was just one day a weeker. You weren't getting 2 days out of me. But I'd go on that Sunday. I mean, they'd be up there worshiping. I'd have my hand up and my heart would be filled with joy. That was my Sunday. It centered me. But then Monday rolled around. Tuesday rolled around. I was right back out in the world doing the same thing. My heart said, I was still the same person inwardly. But outwardly, I could tell you all the goodness of what church was doing for me. But I was still living the same life. Nothing was changing. And I was still impacting the same people, my wife. Unfortunately, I mean, at a time whenever we just had our first child, we should be glorifying that. We should be, super happy. We're having to deal with infidelity. You know, my choices of things that I wanted allowed in my life were a gateway to other things that broke the people who meant the most to me. And we didn't know where to go from there. Yes, church was helping us, was making us feel better, but we didn't know where to go, what was next. And the church we were going to at the time, they had Bible studies. Every year they would have life groups they would create. And I remember when this came about, when we were talking about church, I was totally against it, but a Bible study camp that was called To Infinity Beyond is the name of the group, but it was about the five love languages. Well, people came to us and said, hey, you should join this group. No. I'm broken. I destroyed my wife. I have no desire to tell all of you all my business whatsoever. What do you, all of y'all are so holy than me. I'm not going to join a group that y'all, know my business and tell everybody in the world about it. But the Holy Spirit, just like today, I promise you, church, whenever Pastor Sam asked me to do this, you can ask him. I told him, no, I'm not ready for this. No, thank you. I tried talking myself out of it by saying, this is too overwhelming. How can somebody like me talk to all of you all? But this isn't about me. This isn't about the church. This is about Jesus' victory in me. That could be the same victory in everyone in here. Because whenever your hope becomes in the things of this world, it doesn't become in Jesus, our only Savior. And we're only here for a blink of a blink of a time compared to what's to come. So as the Holy Spirit in that same situation changed our lives, and we ended up going ahead and getting this group. And that was a big step for us because the five love languages, for us, that allowed us to understand that it ain't about what you can do for me. It's about what I could do for you. You know, it allowed me to understand what my wife needed and allowed her to understand what I needed. And we were actually able to take all the brokenness that I had done to her and to move forward with that and start growing. But that wasn't even the most important thing we got out of that group. We understood the meaning of grace. We understood how important it is that no matter how much we fall every single day, Jesus still loves us. No matter how much we try to run away from him, he's standing there with his arms wide open saying, come back to me. And that allowed us to heal, more so my wife to heal, and the fact that she was able to realize, if Jesus loves him no matter how much he did damage to me, why can't I love him the same? And so our marriage started to change and grow because of that. And from there on, our group, every year, we'd have a retreat. And I remember this was my first real encounter with the Holy Spirit. Our first year, we're sitting there, and we're all visiting up the first night, talking about, pretty much telling, you know, each couple is talking about what they're going through, who they are, what their history is. And I'm sitting there listening to all this, thinking, I'm not going to sit there and tell them about me. I'm not going to sit there and tell him how much I cheated on my wife, how much I put my selfish desires, you know, in the times that I should have been putting her first before that. No way. And the more I sit there and I listen to people speak, the Holy Spirit just starts tapping on my heart. It's like, you're going to tell them. I mean, I could hear it. You're going to tell them. You're going to tell them. I was like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. And the heaviness on my heart, I can't even really explain it unless you truly, you know, encountered a moment with the Holy Spirit. But like the tightness in my chest, and I got to the point where I struggled with breathing. I was like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? I just cannot breathe. And it just came out. I was like, I had to let him know. And I just laid it all out there. And in that moment, what I realized was everybody else in that group had the same problems. We've all been through it. You know, in our marriages, as parents, with our kids, our struggles with that, in our job, you know, in our work field, we have all had struggles. We're all broken people in need of help. But so many of us are so prideful. That was the biggest thing for me. For so long, I filled myself with pride. My desire to make so much money gave me such a sense of pride. And then when I didn't have something, if you had it, I was envious of it. I was going to get it, and it didn't matter. But because of all this, I realized that I had to put all that to the side. You know, I needed other people to do life with. And we all do. I mean, we cannot do this life alone, guys. I mean, this world, when you look outside of here, we cannot do this alone. That's why we have the church. And I used to always think to myself, I got to go to church to find Jesus. I got to go around other people to find Jesus. And I told myself that I'm not going to give you a lot of scripture. That's Pastor Sam's job. But 1 Corinthians 3:16 is very clear. I'm just going to read it to you. It says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells within? I didn't need a church. I didn't need people to help me find Jesus. He lived within. He was right here where I the whole time. But because I was running away from him, he was quiet. Why is he going to be hollering at me whenever I'm not even trying to be close to him whatsoever? You know, so in that moment, I realized that all of us people, we needed people to do life together with. And we all need the understanding that Jesus is right here. So, you know, is this group, which we're still in today. I mean, as a matter of fact, there's people here. It came to me today. I love you guys. You know, this group has been going on for 7 years now. It's a Bible study group. We still meet every year. We, you know, we've lost some. We've grown some, you know, but we're still doing life together. We're a family of believers who just want to love Jesus. We want our kids to love Jesus. Our families have grown. And that's what church is about. Church isn't a place you come to literally find Jesus. Church is a place you come to find others who just want to help you do life together. A community of believers who care about you and want what's best for you. So I'm going to lead up to this last year. I'm moving a little quick here. I better slow down a little bit. Y'all might be, I know Sam's a long talker. Y'all might be getting out here short today. So this last year we did a study. And I highly encourage you, if there's somebody in here today who is struggling with maybe reading the Bible, maybe a direction of where to go. We did a study by a gentleman by the name of Stephen Armstrong, and over Revelation. And there's people in our group, I think if you were to speak to them, there's some that struggled with it. Because when you do a study over Revelation, if spiritually your mind isn't ready to go there yet, it could be like watching a, you know, reading about a sci-fi movie. It could really throw you for a loop. But for me, it completely changed my lens. It allowed me to realize that the world I'd always known it, I mean, I was looking at things from this perspective right here, you know, very nearsighted. There was so much more going on outside of that. The world as we see things, you know, I'll give you an example. If, a lot of us in here probably heard of the movie The Matrix. The movie The Matrix is a depiction of two different realities. It can be a very confusing, weird movie, but there's one reality of what most of us walk every day. We wake up, we go to work to make money so we can spend money, eat, sleep, do it again. That's really all of our reality is. You know, we can't get past that. That's our focus. You know, anything crazy, weird, spiritually going outside that, it's like, what? And I know this because I've talked to some of my closest people in my life, some friends who whenever, now that they see where I'm at now and what God's doing with me, when we talk, they're like, dude, you're not even making any sense. Are you one of those guys that read your Bible all the time? You know, and I'm like, I am, but that doesn't mean anything. I mean, what I'm trying to explain to you is there's actually a spiritual warfare going on outside these walls. Okay, we can sit here and talk all day long, and I don't want to get off on this. I told Sam I wouldn't talk about any weird stuff, weird to some people. But we can sit here and talk about what the world is, you know, showing us outside these walls. About the amount of child sacrifices taking place. People can just say that's just choices by everybody. Well, unfortunately, when you read the Bible, it talks about, you know, that being a god of Moloch. Okay, we can sit here and talk about the normalization of transgenderism and so many other aspects. We talk about that's tied to the god of Ashtoreth or Inanna or Venus, or I can go on and on, but we're not going to get into that, you know. But when you start understanding and reading this, you realize there's way more going on in this world than just going to work every day and making money. There are beings out there who want to destroy you. They want to take your kids. They want to break your families. They want to completely break the whole foundation of biblical values. And I'm going to say this real quick, just because I care about this town. I've lived here for 40 years, and I absolutely love this community, the school, everything about it. A lot of schools, a lot of towns are conforming to what the world wants you to do right now. We must stand firm in our values and our beliefs and not allow that stuff to infiltrate our town and our schools. You know, and because when we start allowing those things to happen, we become more accepting to what the devil wants us to, you know, and I don't want to give him any credit. I really don't, you know, because he has no weight here whatsoever. But we cannot allow that stuff to happen in our town, in our school, and we must be the foundation that spreads God's word outwards. So anyhow, I'm gonna move on here. You know, the biggest part, you know, really is where I'm at. You know, what led me to where I'm at. So this study allowed me to grow a little bit spiritually, but I still was. If I had to split up my life into three phases, first 29 years of my life, I was a believer. I've always been, you know, I've always believed. I grew up in church, but I was a believer with no faith. I could do it myself. And then from 29 to 39, I was a believer with faith with no actions whatsoever. I was just still going to do it all by myself. And it wasn't until this last year where I intentionally started making changes in my life. I started purposely thinking about my choices, my thoughts, and I was saying no. I just started saying no more to things. You know, things more, you know, I used to be like, okay, yeah, you know, my flesh, I'm going to let you win. I'm gonna listen to you. I'm not going to listen to the Spirit here. But I started saying no. And what I realized was happening now, the Holy Spirit was starting to work in me. He started to listen, you know, he knew I was listening, and so he started to trust me a little more. And in the past 6 months, the Holy Spirit had placed some people in our lives that at the time they were no more than just friends at a ball field that our kid played ball with. And randomly, some situations happened where we actually got to hang out a few times away from the ball fields. And what's crazy about it is that after the second time after hanging out, I sit there and we're walking with my wife and I'm saying, I don't even know why I'm thinking this, but that Randall knows something about Jesus. That was never a thought in my mind. Unless I was in church or in Bible study Monday and Wednesday or Sunday and Wednesday, I did not think about Jesus. You know, but I was like, why is he thinking about Jesus? And then on 9/9 of this last year, I remember we went out one evening. It was us and this other couple and another couple, you know, my wife, a lady my wife worked with and her husband. And me and this gentleman were sitting there talking about Revelation. I mean, that's all I knew, as a matter of fact. I mean, I was excited. I understood it. So we're talking about some Revelation type stuff. And I remember Randall sitting right here beside me. What he's listening to us talk, and the words, Holy Spirit speaks through him into me and just pierced my heart. Just like the flame inside of me just had been sitting on low. And I was like, what? I remember looking at him and I was like, where did that come from? I know your past. You knew nothing about Jesus. You were a broken person just like I was. Where did that come from? And he goes, honestly, he said, about a couple months ago, the Holy Spirit, God just woke me up in my sleep, smacked me on the forehead and said, get up and learn about me. And his testimony, and then what we were talking about, Revelation, just turned that flame all the way up inside of me. And for 2 days, I remember I sit there, and that evening, the next day, I'm just walking around like, what is going on? This is weird. What is this feeling I have? I remember coming to church on 9/11, and it's an easy day to remember because everybody knows, you know, that date. But I get to church, get home, and I'm walking around the house. Chris, like, what's wrong with you? I said, I don't know. I have no idea. Something is weird. Something's off inside of me. I remember going outside on my back patio. I had to get out of the house to get some air, and the Holy Spirit just poured down on me. He just said, you've been broken long enough. You have ran away from me for far too long. And it's finally time for me to cleanse you of all your thoughts, all your sickness, all your demonic habits, and use you to share my word with others. Because there's nothing in my life I could really compare to the fullness of what God's love has been like in my life in the past 5 months. I mean, for those who haven't experienced it, I don't even really know how to tell you to get to that point, because what I had to realize was it wasn't on my timing. It really wasn't. It was God's timing. And God has that timing for all of us, but the only way to ever get to that point in time is a change of our ways. Here's the best way I can look at it. I saw this illustration the other day. There was a fence, a man standing on a fence, and heaven was on one side, hell was on the other. And he's standing there, and someone's walking away towards hell. And all of a sudden, that person turned to walk back to him, and the guy goes, hey, come on, you're with me. And the guy on the fence goes, no, I'm good right here. And that guy goes, that's fine, I own the fence too. You cannot be gray and walk towards God. God is a black and white person. He's black and white. You're not going to be gray and be on the fence and draw closer to him. And that's why for the longest time, I was being gray. I was picking and choosing the things that I wanted to accept in my life. But the whole time, those were the things that were pushing me away, that was keeping me farther away. And in this journey, I remember once this took place and the Holy Spirit just poured over me outside. And everybody's different on this. Mine was very emotional. I mean, for weeks, I'm not a crier. I mean, my wife, she could watch a good commercial and she'll cry. And I mean, I'm like, quit crying. We don't have crybabies in our house. But me, I'm not a crier. But for 2 weeks, I just cried. I remember I was sitting there on the couch just reading Genesis 2, where it says, two will become one in our flesh. And I turned around to my wife and said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I took that away from you. I remember sitting there and calling up one of my best friends and saying, and we've been friends for 35 years, and just trying to talk to him about what I was going through. And he just like, dude, you're being weird. And I'm going to the house and I start crying. And Chris is like, what are you crying about now? And I was like, I'm not going to be able to have the same friends I've always had and keep the same habits I've always had and walk towards God. You know, and that's the truth. I mean, I know Sam's talked about it, but You have to surround yourself with people who want to breathe life into you. If you want to be the light into the darkness, you have to be with other people who are the light into the darkness. You cannot continue to be in the dark and be close. I just went through this transitional phase where it was so emotional. I even got to a point where I was like, I'm going to quit my job. I don't need money anymore. I mean, there's so much more to this. I've got to the point where my love for money for so long now became, I wasn't worried about that. But God had a different plan for me on that. He told me, I had people come to me and they're like, hey, people come in your office every day. Why not use that as an opportunity to share my word with others? And so from that day forward, I have made it intentional that every day my hope and prayer is that somebody comes in my office, and this thing sits right here on my desk, every day open, and my hope and prayer is that every day comes, that every day somebody comes in and gives me that one little window to tell them about Jesus. Because honestly, all those other things I chased after for so long were meaningless and useless. I finally found hope in something, and I just wanted to tell everybody about it. As a matter of fact, I'll give you a situation that how amazing the Holy Spirit works. This one is just, gosh, it broke me down. So this was Thanksgiving week on a Monday night. My wife and I were, because I've just been reading. I mean, I went from a person who, I've read 3 books my whole life until this past 6 months. I don't know. I was telling Coach Creed about Halfback Pass, I think, when I was in 5th grade. Lord of the Rings, my senior year, I was made to read, which I ain't going to lie, it was a good book. And then He Chose the Nails by Max Licato. I might have said it wrong. So reading was not my thing. I was a math guy. But ever since I started getting into this, it's just changed my whole mind. I changed my whole life, but I remember we're sitting there, and as we're doing our reading, Crystal looks at me this Monday evening, and she's like, what's heaven like? Do you think we're going to know what our kids look like? Do you think we're going to recognize each other? I said, I don't have those answers. I really don't. I said, there's a lot of questions I have right now that, I just don't know the answer to, but we can pray about it. So we did. We prayed about it. The very next day, it's Tuesday that week, and about 1 o'clock, Thanksgiving week, slow my office. I was like, I'm going to go over to my friend's house again. Try to tell him something good. Maybe. Didn't work. He's not ready. That's okay. But I get back to my office. There's 2 people out front. One of them I recognized. Another one I had no idea who he was. So first one comes in. I take care of him. Get him taken care of. The other one guy, he's sitting there waiting. He comes back to my office. He's got one of those, I don't know what they're called, those like heart machine boxes right here that hook up to your heart. And he gives me his insurance card, and he said, hey, I moved to transfer in here from Texas. Can you transfer me in? Yeah. So I'm on the computer doing all this work. But the Holy Spirit's just like, you need to talk to him about me. You need to say something about me. But I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I do every time. I try not to be overly pushy about it. I'm waiting. And as he's telling me his story, he's going on and on. He's telling me about how he just moved here from Texas like 12 days before that. And he goes, I hear him, he makes a call me, he goes, I was gone. I'm sitting there like this, I turn up and look at him, I go, you're gone where? And he goes, do you know who Jesus is? I just start bawling. I said, do I? I've been sitting here just wanting to talk to you about him this whole time. And he goes, about 10 days ago I died. And he goes, and I saw my son who had passed away prior to that. Sorry. He goes, and I saw my great-grandpa. And we can sit here and talk about how amazing that is that that happened to him. But in that moment, the Holy Spirit answered my question from the night before. I mean, just broke my heart. I could not wait to get him out of my office. I mean, I didn't want to get him out of my office, but I could not wait to call my wife and be like, you cannot believe what just happened. But he answered my question from the night before. So he goes on to tell me his story, gets up, and just hugs me and goes, I'm glad the Holy Spirit sent me to you, and leaves. This guy, I don't know how much longer he has lived. His heart's at like 8%, but the big point I'm trying to make here is, the Holy Spirit, when you go to him, He'll work in you. When you have full faith and he knows where your heart is and what, you know, that how much you love him, he might not give you that answer immediately like that, but in his timing, when you need to know, you're going to know. So, you know, going on forth there, you know, my dad's here tonight, but we went on a hunting trip not too long ago. And leading up to that, I'd been praying, God, you know, just in this moment, we hadn't really had a whole lot of opportunity to speak together. You know, really, it's a 6-hour drive. And I was like, just give me the words. Give me the words going on this trip. Just talk to him about. As we're going, it's a good trip. We're driving a 6-hour drive. I was turning over, looking at him. I said, Dad, I got a question for you. I said, if you had the opportunity to go back and take the shot again, I don't want to touch on some sensitive subject on that, but I said, would you do it again? And his answer was, yeah, I think I would, son, because of my lungs. I didn't have an answer for him. I really didn't. But then 2 Timothy 1:7 just came over me, you know, on about 45 minutes later, where it says, God did not give us a spirit of fear. How can we allow fear to take over our lives and make us make choices that don't line up with God's characteristic? And then I remember on the way home, we were talking about some other stuff, and I said, hey, how about we sell this house to maybe pay some stuff off? And he goes, son, you know, I understand, but I'd like to do all that, you know, I'd like to leave it for my kids. Well, fair enough. And I realized 45 minutes, same scenario. God said, why is he taking away my glory of providing for my kids? I'm the provider. And I'm not telling you this because I mean, I'm sitting here trying to, you know, talk about it with Dad, but what I'm trying to say is God is our hope. God is our provider. We must not allow the world to change our views of what God has called us to do. You know, and here's one thing I'd like to say to the men. You know, I'll go a little further in this, but not just men and women. Here's my question. If you spoke to your spouse as often as you spoke to Christ, what would that relationship look like? I mean, really think about that. Because I'll tell you right now, I never prayed. As a matter of fact, 5 months ago, I'd count one time, one finger, how many times I prayed in public around other people. I could sit there and tell you how many times I opened this Bible up and that was it. Think about that question. If you are here because you want to have a relationship with Jesus and you spoke to him as much as you spoke to your spouse, what would that relationship with your spouse look like? For some of us, it wouldn't be very good. For me, it wasn't very good. Running out of time here, so I'm going to go ahead and close up. So, men, these are my only notes I had. I typed up this whole sermon, like 10 pages. I was ready to go. Gave it to my wife, and I felt like I gave it to Miss Cruz. She marked that whole thing up. She was like, I remember, and I was sitting there, I was like, what am I supposed to do now? She goes, what is this? I go, it's my message. She goes, this ain't your testimony. This is a sermon. She goes, this is for, you know, and I was like, okay. So, you know, so we went a different route. But I did type this up. But men, I feel strong. This is what I want to say to you. We must make a change, not just for our own salvation, but for our families, for our kids. The world wants our children. Look at the amount of child sacrifice we are seeing. Look at the direction of what society wants to call normal. We must raise our children in a way they should go. We as husbands, we are called to lead our families. And if he has control of the husband, then there's a higher probability that'll be easier for the children to fall into what the world has to offer them. I came across this statistic. It said that there's a 97% chance that when men are the spiritual leader of their household, the rest will fall in line. It starts with the men. And I'm not taking anything away from women whatsoever. Not whatsoever. And I want to say this about, you know, I want to follow that up with this. Another scripture, Matthew 22:30. So that the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. So here's my question. Not, I guess, same question. God, first off, we didn't choose our parents. God chose them for us. We didn't choose our family. God chose them for us. But you know who did choose us? Our wives, our spouses. We must be intentional. We must lead our family in a way that is biblically and spiritually correct, so that our children will grow up to be God-fearing, our sons will be God-fearing men, and our daughters will look for God-fearing men and be God-fearing women. It starts with us. And lastly here, it says, I've lived in this town 40 years. I've said, this town, this school, and everyone in this community, we must create a foundation that is 100% based on biblical values and not waver. As a community, we must not accept the new normal. We must stand on the word that is truth and life. We were all created for this specific time, and we must be warriors for Christ. My finishing statement, guys, I don't know about you. I think it's much, but I'd much rather be stand with God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God. And if I can leave you one verse to go and look up, Revelation 20:11-15. I'm not going to read the whole thing out, but in this moment it talks about the books of judgment and the book of life. My hope and prayer is that one day every single one of us is going to stand before God. And he's going to open up that book of life, and he's going to look at every one of us and say, well done, my child. Well done. Will you pray with me?